Malcolm and I lived in Geneva, Switzerland, about 7 years ago. And one summer, we took a three-week pilgrimage. We packed our backpacks, we put on our boots, we locked our front door, and we started walking the Camino to Santiago. This is a famous pilgrimage trail. I'm sure most of you know about this trail. Hundreds of years ago, Christians left their homes in the vicinity of Europe, and they walked the road to the western coastline of Santiago, Spain, ending in this magnificent cathedral. And it was a spiritual journey. It was a walk that people took to slow them down, to examine their lives. It was an act of repentance. And this Camino to Santiago has had a great resurgence in these past years. It's very popular. Not only Christians walk this walk, but people of all kinds of places in their spiritual journey are walking this path. Some take 3 months, some take 3 weeks, some take do it over in parts, over years. So Malcolm and I, we set out from Geneva. And for those of you who have eyes to see, there is this distinguishing shell sign all around the pathway to guide you. There's no one back there. Oh, there popped up. there is one slide to show if it's there. That distinguish. So you follow that shell sign that guides you all along your pathway. So today I want to tell you how our pilgrimage began. I had been doing my regular jogging as I normally do a few days before a pilgrimage, and this pilgrimage that we had been planning for months. And literally 2 days before we left, as I was jogging, I experienced really sharp pain in my foot, and so sharp that I had to stop my run, and I was actually just limping home from that little jog. I was gutted. I mean, was I really injured? And why did this happen 2 days before our pilgrimage trip? You know, where good feet are essential. So I dealt with this blow by denial. I told Malcolm, it's not really that bad. I'm sure I'll be able to walk in 2 days' time. So in 2 days' time, it still hurt quite badly. But I was determined to be a Camino pilgrim. And so, as I said, we packed our bags, we locked our apartment door, and we followed those shell signs out of Geneva into France. We had not yet walked 45 minutes. We were only on the outskirts of town. And I said, Malcolm, I don't think I can do this. So we stopped and we sat down to rest at a bus stop. We suspected I had a stress fracture on my foot. And it was a very tense moment. We were incredibly discouraged. But just then, two pilgrims walked by. I kid you not. And you must know that the Camino in Geneva, that route is not widely traveled. So most people start in the middle of the France or in the edge of Spain, but they don't start in Geneva. But just then, two elderly people walked by with packs on, with a distinguishing shell on their pack. And we stopped them and we struck up a conversation. They had just arrived from Belgium. And yes, they were indeed Camino pilgrims starting out on their trip. And they asked us too, are you walking the Camino? And we said, well, that was our plan, but my foot is in so much pain. We don't know what to do. They didn't seem too fussed. Oh, well, we have lots of aches and pains, they said. My husband has this chronic calf problem. His partner had a hip injury. And they spoke in detail of what ailed them. And they said they've been walking the Camino for years. They always have some sort of injury, but it's just part of what it means to be a pilgrim. You'll get used to it, they said. And they were off. Leaving Malcolm and I in kind of a dazed but more hopeful state, I think they are angels and they have a message for us, I said. I mean, they were at least 20 years, maybe even 30 years older than us, and they go forth as pilgrims expecting and embracing injury. That's what it means to be a pilgrim, they said. So we decided to keep going. Indeed, we became pilgrims. Eventually, I bought walking sticks and a new pair of roomier boots. Along the way, we consulted Malcolm's running coach via WhatsApp, and we rested every 30 minutes on the whole journey, but we did it. We walked our 3-week pilgrimage. I just walked it as a wounded pilgrim. So we're starting a new sermon series for these summer months, as was introduced last week, the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. And the section of the Psalms are traditionally understood to be songs by Hebrew pilgrims as they journey to Jerusalem to celebrate annual festivals. 1 to 3 times a year, they would leave their front door and they would walk together. They would sing these songs as they traveled to Jerusalem. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, that talks about Jesus doing this with his family and his extended family when he was young. They, all the relatives, they traveled together to Jerusalem for the Passover. And you can just imagine the community camaraderie, because we know that Jesus' parents didn't even realize he wasn't among them on their journey home. They just assumed that Jesus was with the family mob, hanging out with his cousins. But in that story, Jesus stayed back in Jerusalem, sitting in the temple, talking to the religious leaders. And Jesus told his parents, when they found him 3 days later, that he must be in his Father's house. That pilgrimage to Jerusalem was about going home, traveling toward the temple, to this holy place, a place that symbolized God's home, where God was present. So Jesus wanted to be close to God. He did that pilgrimage towards Jerusalem to dwell, to be in the dwelling of God, to be close to God. So that pilgrimage was literal. And these songs of ascent that were used was for a very real pilgrimage long ago. And this pilgrim theme is a common metaphor for our spiritual lives. We are invited into a journey of moving toward God. We are people going somewhere. We spend our lives going someplace. And these songs of ascent invite us to make our comings and our goings about a movement toward life with God. Our spiritual life is about this dynamic journey of aligning all of our life towards God. Our spiritual life is about a dynamic journey of aligning all the bits of our life toward God. This is our pilgrimage. Now, I'm really grateful to Dane. He couldn't make it this morning, but for making the prayer book for us. It's a prayer book. I hope that you guys received one either last week or this week. It was used by Dane. It was prayed, walked out, and meditated by him for a while, and it's an invitation this summer for us to do this as well, to use this prayer book as well. And the inside page, if you open it up, there's some prompts on that first page to show us how to meditate on the Psalm of the Week. So I was really ready for this series. I like the pilgrim theme. I think it's a good theme for us right now at Grandview, as I'm just beginning here, and Grandview has been on a certain journey. And we now want to mark together that we are leaving that place where we have been in the life of Grandview. We are leaving that past, and we are walking together towards some place new. And the most important part of this journey is that these particular psalms invite us into and embody for us is that we are walking together toward God. That our collective gaze is to move toward our source of life. This is what we need most of all, to gather our collective gaze to our source. So are you ready? This is an exciting journey for us as a church community. We are leaving where we have been, and we are going on a journey together into the unknown, but facing and moving toward life with God. So I'm excited. Until I sat down this past Monday afternoon and read our first Psalm of Ascent, Psalm 120. Ouch! Stress fracture. Really? I mean, is this the first psalm we want to start on our exciting pilgrimage? Honestly, this psalm embodies all the things I'm extremely uncomfortable with the Psalms or the Hebrew Scriptures in general. And I felt like just sitting down and calling Dane up and saying, hey, you know, I don't know if I can do this journey. What about you? You know, what are your thoughts and feelings as you listened to Psalm 120 or read it this week, our first psalm of ascent. I noticed right away the militant imagery, you know, a common theme in the Psalms, the description of God as a warrior who punishes. And I don't like military imagery. So much killing and death and wars have been justified, and they continue to be justified because of the military imagery in the Bible. And along with this military imagery is the sense of us versus them, and the arrogant idea that God is on my side. And this psalmist calls down God to bring upon violent judgment, arrows and burning coals on his enemies, because he is righteous and they are not. He has enemies who lie and are full of deceit and who love war, yet he, the writer, is a man of peace. Really? Is he totally a man of peace all the time? I think it does help us to remember that these psalms were written in a time where war is life. War was a very lived reality. It would be common to associate God with war, because war was a huge part of life back then. But I'm still uncomfortable with it. So just good to name this painful stress fracture of a psalm, as Charlie named earlier too. I also know that in the psalm world, there are psalms about praise, there are some about thanksgiving, and there are some written as laments. It does help to know this and to perhaps locate this psalm as a psalm of lament. Psalms of lament always include distress and pain. Pain that's interpreted by the writer to be either caused internally or by cause externally, which they name the enemy, or caused by God. Psalms of lament are complaints about distress and pain, and they're complaints to God. The complaining may not be righteous sounding. And it honestly may sound like this, that we want judgment and we want punishment on those who have hurt us, as this writer is writing, which is not the Christ-following way. I want to make that clear. But the thing about Psalms of Lament is that they are about being vulnerable and free to cry out to God when we are in pain. Psalms of lament don't leave us alone in pain, but they direct us, they teach us, they invite us to share our pain honestly with God. So as I read Psalm 120, I connected with this writer's desire for peace. You know, part of his pain is that he's swamped with deceit and lies and violence and war surrounding him, and he just wants to sleep in peace. And when he cries out, "Woe is me, I dwell in Meshech, and I live in the tents of Kedar," we can understand this to mean that literally he is exiled as a foreigner. He's not with his people, but he's in some northern desert Arabic territory among tribes unknown to him. Or we can also see these names, Meshech and Kedar, as poetic references to what it feels like to be an alien, to be a stranger, to be tired of living in a world of warriors. I can pray this psalm like this: "God, hear our cry of distress. Save us. We're so tired of war. We're so tired of violence going around in this world. I mean, we continually are lamenting and protesting and calling out for peace for all of the conflicts we see around us, from Gaza to the Ukraine to Sudan. We're continually crying out for the violence in our city, in our own homes, and even in our own hearts." I mean, this psalm invites us to pray for peace in all the warring parts of our world and our own lives. So Psalm 120 is given to us as the beginning psalm of our journey of the songs of ascent. We are invited to start with and to take this psalm with us on our pilgrimage, because when we start on a journey, we actually bring all of our baggage and stress fractures with us. No matter where we go, we take our very real proud and doubting and judgmental and longing selves with us, our full selves, not just the good parts. But this Psalm 120 invites us to take all of our confusions and our distress and questions about Scripture and questions about Christianity, questions about God that we can journey with. We can't really cut this psalm out, but perhaps we can recognize this psalm as part of our human experience. We live in a world where war is reality, and this longing for justice and judgment is real, and we feel like aliens in this world, but ultimately we long for peace, and at the same time, we realize we're not living in peace. This psalm invites us to take all of our false images of God with us, all of our questions, all of our strong reactions to Scripture and to the state of Christianity and the state of our world, all of this baggage we're invited to take on this pilgrim journey. Now, of course, when you walk the Camino to Santiago, the best practice is to take the smallest amount with you. You know, one change of clothes, rain gear, journal, water, not much. But in reality, we humans always travel with too much. This is just our way. We know we shouldn't, but we do. We take too much baggage on our journey. And I feel like Psalm 120 is allowing that for us this morning. It reveals some of the baggage that we carry about being a Christian or Scripture. And it's painful. It's like a stress fracture that threatens to stop us from traveling altogether. So our invitation this morning is to begin to say yes to this journey. You know, some of us are taking huge bags with us. Some of us not so much. And some things will fall off right away on this journey. And some things will fall off eventually. And hopefully, we will realize that we don't need this really heavy thing that we thought was so important to drag with us. And maybe we'll also get to our destination in a slower way, still with this painful stress fracture. But we have moved toward God in the process, because we travel as wounded pilgrims, carrying our baggage with us. Now, this writer of the psalm does say a few phrases that perhaps you can meditate on this week to enter your pilgrimage with. The first phrase in verse 1, I call upon the Lord. I cry to the Lord of my distress. If that's you, if you are in distress, if you're in a place of lament and grief, the invitation is to come with that on your journey to God, to bring your cries to God. This journey is for you. The second phrase is verse 5, says, I am an alien. This is in the New Revised Standard Version, those exact words. Woe is me, I'm an alien in Meshach. If you're feeling like you don't belong in this faith, in this church, that you're a stranger, an imposter in this world, you too are invited on this journey. This journey is for you. And that last phrase, verse 7, I am for peace. If you have a longing, even if you can't see straight in your own life and you know there's raging war in your own soul, if you are longing somewhere for peace, you're invited on this journey. This is a pilgrimage of seeking peace and pursuing peace, because that is ultimately what life abundant with God is about. This long, patient, hard journey of walking the path of peace, which includes all things being made right again. So are you lamenting? Are you feeling like an outsider? Are you longing for a peaceful home to dwell? You're invited to take all of your baggage and to journey together. Let's not stop at the bus stop before we even get going, because the stress of walking this journey is too painful. Maybe we can listen to these psalms as the encouraging angels along the way, as the walking sticks to support us, as the correct shoes to let our feet breathe and move, and to go a further distance than we ever thought possible. Those who walk the Camino sing this song together. Malcolm and I sang it every day, a song called Altrea. It means, go farther, go higher, may God be your help. Go farther, go higher, may God be your help. Let's all walk this journey, Grandview, as wounded pilgrims. Let's journey together. Amen. Please pray with me. God of the open road, God of the twisting path, God of the narrow and upward way, we're gathered here together. Give us provision for the journey ahead, courage, faith, compassion, endurance to face hardship. And open our eyes to see you walking beside us, encouraging us, loving us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.